I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hello, Zach.
Good morning, boys. How are we?
We're doing horrible. No, we're doing wonderful. Sorry, it's a standard answer. I apologize. Zach Meisel joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Zach, where did you pick the Guardians to finish before the season?
Third, but I said they could finish anywhere from second to fifth. So that would mean I certainly didn't predict this.
Kind of hedging there. I mean,
Did you hedge?
Basically five spots for them.
Did you hedge?
I said I thought they could finish anywhere but first, and they finished first. I was incorrect.
Zach, do you think any of the fans that showed up in the rainy, windy conditions at the airport last night should be given at least one free playoff ticket? Because that is my stance this morning.
I've been asking for a few weeks, like, are we 100% sure that they're going to sell out the wild card games?
They're going to sell out.
I think they will, but yeah, I'm curious to see what the attendance is like over these last 9 games at home. I know the games don't really mean anything, but it's weekday and it's freezing and it's going to be rainy, but it'll be interesting to see.
They're going to sell up.
Is that partly our responsibility? Do we have to drum this up and start shaming fans like the good old days?
I don't think so. I mean, it's people can do whatever they want to do with their money and their time. And
No. This is a playoff team now, and they won the division. They're the youngest team in baseball. We tell people every day how to spend their money. So why not this?
It is what it is, though. Like, how many people had no intention on going to the game, but then they hear you guys having Curtis Danberg on, and you know, there's a giveaway of a blanket this weekend, and they totally change their minds. Like, I don't know exactly how effective that is. So I think it just is what it is. I think we have to accept it. And I think clinching the look. I think there's a ton of support right now. I think that people are excited about this, and I think there are a lot of casual fans perhaps that like didn't really hit them maybe until the last couple days or until they totally blew through Chicago this week. So I think there will be more excitement and more support here. But I think it is what it is. I think it takes a really long time to change people's habits. And I don't think you're going to do that overnight here in this surprise season.
All right, Zach, then for those, because we know they are very inclusive right now, they will take any fans that they can get. And we've had some fans call up this morning and say, you know what? It's been harder to watch them because of the cable situation. They weren't happy about the name change, and they weren't happy about the Dolans. But the team finishing first like this has earned their respect, and earned is a big deal here. And in this town where we've had so many teams underachieve, this team is overachieved. Why don't you, Zach, tell fans what they're missing? Give them the elevator pitch of why they need to get out there for the playoff game.
Yeah, I mean, so, look, I last season was miserable to sit through, and all the talk was about the name change, and it was their first season where August and September felt like a slog. They weren't really in it. And I just remember sitting, in Texas at the end of last season thinking, God, it's finally over. And it was awful baseball to watch. And all the players you were watching, you knew they weren't part of the future. And this season started along that path a little bit. And you had to wait until they kicked Bobby Bradley to the curb and Yu Chang and Oscar Mercado and all those guys. But I mean, they've played at a clip better than 600 winning percentage since late May. And that's basically when like Oscar Gonzalez came up, when Stephen Kwan started to figure it out. So it's been a refreshing brand of baseball. I mean, I think what has driven a lot of people away is you know, everybody strikes out twice a game and you're waiting for a solo home run or a two-run homer and some walks. Like, that brand of baseball has gotten so stale. That's why they're making all these changes to the sport. Well, this team is the antithesis to that. And the way they run, the way they capitalize on mistakes, the way they annoy the hell out of opposing pitchers and fielders, I mean, it's unlike anything I've seen in Cleveland. And it's been a joy to watch. I mean, they had a ground ball to third base yesterday that they scored two runs on. Like, that's, who else does that? So, I'm not going to tell people how to spend their money or what to do. And I wish that when this team did good things and surprised us, we didn't, you know, when the Cavs had the same exact season pretty much, right? Like, it was very low expectations going in and they shocked everybody. And you're really excited because it's a long-term thing. It's a really young team and you know, they have a bright future. So you're sort of playing with house money, but like with the Cavs, like we're not, and I know that we're not talking about attendance and whatnot because they sell out Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse. But like, I wish we didn't just have to talk about the name change and attendance and why people aren't going and the TV stuff. Like, I wish we could just talk about the product on the field because it's been such a refreshing product on the field.
Zach Meisel joining us on the show. Is it in poor taste for media to drink with the players in the clubhouse when they clinch?
Yeah, I mean, I can't do that.
Oh, you can't?
But no, I'm covering it objectively. Now, that doesn't mean I walked out of there completely dry. Because,
well, I mean, you're in a clubhouse while they're spraying booze. I mean, you know, that's what goes down. But I didn't know.
No, I have stuff to write. I got to run there to work.
Oh boy, you're just a barrel of laughs, aren't you? Do you get loaded afterwards, or how's that work?
I had a flight to catch, but it never gets old covering those. And I think, you know, 2016 was sort of reminiscent of that because those guys hadn't experienced it before. But then in the years following that, you know, it was a veteran team and their goal wasn't to just clinch the division and spray champagne and then go home. So they kind of got tamer over the years. This is a group that has never experienced this. And two people, Bieber and Jose, were on the roster the last time they won the division in 2018. So a lot of kids who hadn't experienced this. And honestly, like, it was a good celebration. I kind of expected it to be even crazier just because of the youth. And these are all 23-year-olds who can hang with the best of them. But I think they behaved themselves pretty well.
All right, Zach, Tito has won now, what, four of these with the Guardians. We know about the celebrations he got to be a part of with the Red Sox, which sometimes seemed like it was after regular season games. At this point, what was that like? I mean, you're in there yesterday. Tito has been through this before, but not like this. What was it like when you heard him talk? We saw some of the audio that made it to online. What was that like being around him?
It's eye-opening because, you know, there were times during the season when I thought, man, is this guy, like, why is he doing this? You know, he didn't make it through the last two seasons, fought back to be able to be in this position this year, and it looked kind of ugly for a couple months in, and he was still struggling to get around, and the team was floundering, and you're thinking, like, man, why is this guy coming back when this team's contention window is still a couple years away? And I think as the season went on, I think he got energized. I think Stephen Kwan has, like, made him feel like a proud grandfather. And, I mean, you see the bond he has with this group. And I don't – you know, there were certain points where I thought this might be it. Or even, like, a little nervous that he's not going to get through the season. And I think if – assuming he comes back, I think it's because this group sort of – breathed some new life into his career. And you see him in the middle of the clubhouse and everybody kind of circling around him and spraying him with champagne. And, you know, he gave a speech about 90 minutes before first pitch yesterday where he said, look, the way you guys have kind of just kept your head down and kept plugging along, and by the way, steamrolling the two other division title contenders, in Chicago and Minnesota, like, you guys have earned this. So when it happens, if it's today, blow it out, and we'll get home whenever we get home. So it's been pretty cool. I mean, we can sit here and debate some of the more the minutia of his in-game decision making, and you can be critical of that. And I think sometimes fans lose sight of the fact that, like, every single fan base does that about their manager. But it's incredible the way that he has sort of steered the ship here this year, because when you have young players and you go through some rough patches, it can be really hard to get out of that, and it can tank your season. But any time that they faced adversity, they were better off when they came through it. And I mean, look at what they've done when it mattered most this month. This run has been incredible.
What do you say to fans who are still upset about the name change?
I don't say anything because I'm really over it. Whatever. If you're still upset about it, then don't follow the team, and you won't know what you're missing out on, and that's your prerogative. I mean, we can all stay miserable and just do what we want to do with our lives. Whatever.
Did Terry Francona, we have Zach Meisel joining us on the show, did Terry Francona and his leadership maybe cover up a little bit for one mistake? And we like the front office on this show. But was there a mistake made where the front office is to have alleged by some of the fans here listening to our show today, trying to build around Frenmil Reyes, and were they kind of dug out by Terry Francona this season?
So I think there are a number of, like, happy accidents here. If you look back to when the lockout ended, well, even before the lockout, like, they tried to swing a couple significant moves. They offered Carlos Rodon a multi-year contract. He said no. That actually still would have been a good move. But they tried to get Matt Olson and Jesse Winker. And if they get Jesse Winker, you're probably not seeing the Stephen Kwan breakout. Or maybe you're seeing that, but you're certainly not seeing Oscar Gonzalez. You know, they left Oscar Gonzalez unprotected from the Rule 5 draft last winter. They're lucky that there was no Rule 5 draft. They're lucky that Jose Ramirez was willing to accept a below-market deal. Otherwise, he would have been traded. Like, there's a lot of things that worked out well, and give the front office credit first and foremost for developing the culture and the player development system that has these kids in the majors thriving, you know, in their rookie seasons. It's incredible the way that they get the most out of young players. But there were points along the timeline here where, you know, they either didn't do something that they could have done or with Frenmil Reyes, who was, you know, it was him and Jose Ramirez. Those are the only two hitters anyone thought that they would be relying on this season. And then Reyes, you know, doesn't perform, and they weren't going to keep him this offseason. So they couldn't find a taker in a trade at the trade deadline. So they just cut ties with him. And they could still use Frenmil Reyes when Frenmil Reyes is going well. You know, they could use that power threat. But the hitter he was for them this season, I mean, they're certainly better off without that. And I think it's helped that, you know, the fact that they are in contention and they had other young players that they wanted to get time on the field sort of expedited that move. And it worked out well for them in the end.
All right, Zach, break down the matchups, potential matchups for the Guardians. And who do you want to see? I know they struggle with Seattle big time. Does any of that matter if they play him again?
So this is going to be a cop-out answer. A three-game series, a best of three, is a coin flip, probably against any of the three potential opponents they have in Seattle, Tampa, and Toronto. Tampa might be the team you want to play. They're really beat up, especially on their pitching staff. But it's tough. I mean, Seattle's, yeah, they're struggling right now. Their star rookie, who's probably going to beat out Kwan for Rookie of the Year, Julio Rodriguez just went on the injured list. But, like, their pitching staff, man, they, in a three-game series, too, like, they have three aces, basically. So that's a really tough team to play. You know, Toronto has as much talent as pretty much anybody in baseball. So with them, I mean, Cleveland played them really well this year, but you just never know which Blue Jays team you're going to get. It's tough. I will say this, like, if they can survive this, I mean, I don't want to say they're going to make a deep run, but, like, a matchup with the Yankees would be really interesting. Like, I understand that this is not built like some juggernaut that's just going to terrorized the American League here, but they weren't in 2016 either. I think people forget that going into those playoffs, like, nobody expected anything from the Indians because of the injuries that they had, and like, the Blue Jays were really good then, and the Rangers had a really good season. And so it's you never know with the playoffs, and especially with a best of three wild card series that we've never really seen before. But I will tell you this. I think other teams, I was talking to a scout over the weekend who said, we don't want any part of the Guardians. Like, the way they're playing right now and the pitching staff they have, that is the team we want to avoid.
Do you like the format?
I think so. I think the wild card weekend is going to be fun. It's just Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and you have, what, four series going on simultaneously? So, yeah, why not?
Are you surprised they did it on Friday, Saturday, Sunday when it's football, football, football?
Yeah, because knowing baseball, I thought they would do it like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday mornings.
I mean, it's great. It's great for diehard baseball fans who just have their weekends to be able to do it. I'm just surprised MLB wanted to go up against high school football, college football, NFL.
Yeah, it's more just the schedule that they have because they're adding this in. So they removed a bunch of off days and travel days throughout the whole playoff schedule. So they just don't have any other time to do it. Because I'm with you. Like, it would have made sense maybe to go Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, or Thursday, Friday, Saturday. But like, the regular season ends Wednesday. Everybody gets an off day Thursday, and then you're back at it Friday.
Zach, thank you for the time, buddy. We'll talk to you again soon.
You got it, fellas. Take care.
Zach Meisel from the New York Times on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We thank him very much for his time. 216-578-0092. Coming up next, one of the biggest meltdowns you'll ever hear of. And no, we're not talking about the White Sox.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.